Well, good morning to everyone. It's a joy to be here with you. We have what I call another year. We all say Happy New Year. But in reality, it's just another year. And that another year is an opportunity that God has blessed us with. Make no mistake, we don't have to have another year in our life. Our life is like a vapor, here today, gone tomorrow. And so what we do with our lives at this point in time is the same thing we need to do with our lives every single day, and that is to serve God, to honor God, and more importantly, to obey God. Because as we sang in this song, we need to trust and obey. That last stanza there, beginning where it says, where he sends or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do. Where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. My friends, we live in a world that's cynical. We live in a world that does not actually believe in obeying. A world that has been deceived by evil men, evil women, who have taught a message of salvation by mental assent. There's nothing necessary as far as obeying or doing the things that God has called us to do. In fact, they look at that as an evil thing. And so I want to start this new year with just two messages. Today, we want to have a message that's called, Has Your Jerusalem Fallen? And this has everything to do with each and every one of us here in this room. Because this is a very individual statement. We have God's Word as a testimony to each and every one of us. Concerning the course of events in the history of men's lives, what the mighty Creator had done from the garden until this very time. And God's Word is both historical, inspired, and I guess three things, it's prophetic. It tells us of the Almighty God who most assuredly always keeps his promises. The scriptures tell us with God, yes is always yes, and no is always no. Jeremiah writes about these things as we're going to look just a little bit from the book of Lamentations, and then we're going to go to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28. With God's chosen people, then was Israel. God's chosen people today is the church. You know, back then in Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 and 6, Moses tells the people that they must obey the voice. They have to keep God's covenant. And then they will be a special treasure to God above all people on the earth. To him there would be kingdoms. They would be in a kingdom, priests in a holy nation. Think about those words. And then remember the words of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, that today the church, the saints, all of us who are baptized into Christ, we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. And so God has made promises in the old and promises in the new. And the promises that God makes that we're going to look at today have everything to do with how we need to live our lives in this next year. From this day forward. The church is the spiritual Israel. The fact is that Paul mentions this by saying that there's no difference between circumcision and uncircumcision anymore, because they avail nothing. we know that God has broken down the middle wall that was between the Jews and the Gentiles. He broke that down by dying on a cross and being raised from the grave. And so now everybody, Jew, Greek, it doesn't matter, black, white, no matter what your gender, what your nationality, everyone comes to Jesus the same way. The God of Israel is the God of the church. And so as we examine the scriptures, we know what God has in store for us. We know what God wants from us. We know about His promises to His special people. Whether it's old or new, the promises are the same in this lesson. So I want you to look at the book of Lamentations with me just for a minute. There's five chapters in Lamentations, and you know that they're basically all the same. Lamentations is right after that book of Jeremiah. And you look at the book of Lamentation, and what we see is Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. He's overcome with emotion. He writes about the affliction of disobedient people. Jeremiah addresses Jerusalem, that is a proud city. It's rich in history, dedicated to serving her God. And this city was once filled with great promises, great beauty, filled with faithful people. But because of the people, because they're disobedient, Babylon has been given the power to overcome that city, the power to reduce Jerusalem to rubble. And it's no wonder that Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. Jeremiah is filled with lamentation, sorrow, tears. He's filled because of the sins of the people, the rebellion of the people, and the impending destruction of Judah and Jerusalem, of Israel, by the Babylonians. Jeremiah grieves because of his people's unfaithfulness, because of the upcoming judgment and the suffering that he witnessed. And this little prophetic book, as you look at these, you know, Jeremiah, he's expressing profound grief. And look at Lamentations 1:8. We're not going to spend a lot of time in this book. But look what it said. Jerusalem has sinned gravely, therefore she has become vile. In this new year, in this next year, we want to understand deeply what it means to sin, what it means to be vile, and make sure that we're on that track that is not sin, that brings glory and honor to God. And the one thing's for sure, they brought this upon themselves. It was not what God ever wanted. God had sent them into captivity to learn a lesson. But He sent them there because He made a promise to them. And it's the same promise that we're going to be facing this very day and for every day of our life. He didn't want this to happen. He didn't force them in there. He didn't want them this lesson. That wasn't His plan. His plan all the time was for good on their behalf. In fact, in Jeremiah chapter 29, this is what we read. Thus says the Lord, after 70 years are complete at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not evil, to give you a future and hope. So we think about this word that God is going to perform toward us, toward them. In the book of Deuteronomy now, we want to turn there. Deuteronomy chapter 28. And this is a very long chapter. We're not obviously going to be able to go through this whole thing. But just think about Deuteronomy chapter 28 in the first two verses. Moses writes, "Now it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord." Think about that. In this book, God's going to make two promises. This is the first promise. Promise of blessings. That's what God's promising. Look at what he said here. Observe carefully. And what's he going to do if we do that? Observe carefully to keep all the commandments. He's going to set us up on high. That's what Israel is thinking right now. Judah is thinking. God is going to set us up on high above all nations of the earth. How and why? Because we observe carefully to keep all his commandments that he commands. Again, this is a promise that was made to Israel. The same promise is made to the spiritual Israel, the church. We think about this promise, these blessings. You know, you see in this chapter, we're going to see obedience and blessings. Look at verses 3 through 14. There's going to be blessings in the land. Blessings of the fruit of their body. That means children. The produce of your ground in verse 4. Increase of your herds. Blessings. These people will be blessed so that the basket of your kneading tool, verse 5, kneading bowl, it's always going to be full. When they go in and out of towns and different places, they're going to be blessed. The Lord in verse 7 causes their enemies to rise up, who rise up against them to be defeated. The Lord will command the blessings in their storehouses, verse 8. He will establish you as a holy people to himself, verse 9. And all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, verse 10. The Lord will grant you plenty of goods. Remember Matthew 6 and 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Verse 12, open to you his good treasure. The heavens to give you rain so that you can work the soil. He even says that you'll lend to many, but you shall never borrow. That means they will have the wealth of the nations. Verse 13, you'll make you a head, not a tail. You shall be above only and not beneath if you heed the commandments of the Lord and be careful to observe them. You shall, verse 14, not turn aside from any other words which I command you to this day, to the right or to the left. Think about all these blessings, all these things, and more promises are given by the Lord. If they observe to keep the commandments, if they stay on that straight and narrow path, not going to the left, not going to the right. That should sound familiar to the church. And so we also learn from the past. That's what it's so important. We learn what happens to the people who did not obey God. Curses. But it shall come to pass, this is verse 15, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all His commandments and His statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you. And when we look at verses 15, now listen, I think God's making a powerful emphasis here because it only took 14 verses to tell us about the blessings. That was enough. Here, it's like a huge warning because it's verses 15 to verse 68. There's a lot of verses. Their city will be cursed, verse 16. There's a scarcity of food that we look at, verses 17 and 18. You go down and there's troubles for them when they go in and out. And verses 21 and 22, you know, they'll have sickness in the land. And it just goes on and on. Look at verse 25 and 26, where he says, the Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. A little opposite of the blessing. 26, your carcasses shall be food for all the birds of the air. Curses. Verses 27 and 28, they'll suffer sickness. Right? They'll be blind, unable to prosper, oppressed, plundered. Continually though, without hope of being saved, verse 29. And when you read verses 30, through 68, and you should, many more curses, an abundant, an overflow. And I think God's trying to make the message, if you obey me, these great things are going to happen. If you don't obey me, it's going to be really bad. And so in this other year that we have, this next year, this new year, we need to be thinking about blessings and cursings. And that's, you know, we ask the question, why is history here so important to us? You remember the words of the Apostle Paul. Whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we may, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, have hope. That's why it's so important. It's important because we don't want to repeat history. We don't want to find ourselves in a position where we're acting like the sin and not receiving the blessing. We need to learn so that we don't repeat the bad history. So last year, maybe there's some things in our lives that weren't quite up to par. It might have something to do with how many times we attend the assemblies here in the church. It might have something to do with maybe a little lack of Bible study on our own part. It might be something where we're not, as we mentioned this morning in the class, we're not being good stewards of the things that God has given us, both physical and spiritual. Whatever it may be, this next year, this day forward, this new year, we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity to look back at our personal history last year and say, I need to do this better. I need to eliminate this and I need to strive more for this. And you know what? That brings blessings. That brings blessings. So let's make application of this. Deuteronomy, Lamentation. The words, has your Jerusalem fallen? What does it mean? Well, in this lesson, has your Jerusalem fallen means your own soul. Right? Are we on the side of cursing our soul? Is it on that side where it's fallen? That was the scripture that was read this morning from Hebrews chapter 6. Let's remind ourselves what he said at verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have been become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good things of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, has your Jerusalem fallen? To renew them again to repentance, and they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. I want to look at one verse here, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. This has to do with empty words that are being preached in churches. Empty words that are just blackness and darkness. It has to do with people who have forsaken the right way and gone astray. In verse 18 it says, "For when they speak great swelling words and emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, and the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption, for by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they are again entangled in them and overcome, then the latter end is worse for them than the beginning, for it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, and having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them." We need to be a people who are very careful. And we also have to realize that in the day of judgment, our soul receives blessings or a curse. It's pretty straightforward. It's not rocket science. It's not difficult. Everything that we need to know is at our fingertips. It's right here in God's Word. Everything, both the Old and the New Testament, whatever we need to know about our life from this day forward, this new year, this next year, everything we need is right there at our fingertips. So we can hear, we can read, we can hear, we can understand the Word of God. And we can prepare ourselves from this moment forward to be better prepared for that heaven to come. You know, John writes, "These things I write to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." So we can know. 1 John 5 and 13. We can know. There's no question. And when we think about it, it isn't complicated. Right? There's only two paths. Paul writes, "Do you not know to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, that you are that one slaves to whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness." And then Jesus says very same thing when he talks about the wide and the narrow gates in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. That wide gate that leads to destruction. That's the world's way. That is those people who deceive people. And they follow them into the pit. And then there's that narrow, difficult way where people follow the word of Jesus. They hold fast and abide in the doctrine of Christ, and they have both the Father and the Son. 2 John chapter 2, or 2 John verse 9 and verse 3 and so on. Just read 2 John, very short chapter. And then in Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 31 through 46, God divides the world into two. Every soul is divided, either the sheep on the right hand or the goats on the left. And as you read in that the goats who do not obey the commands of God went into everlasting punishment, and the sheep who did obey the commands of God into eternal life. Two simple paths. And it's just for us now as it was for Israel. We need to obey in order to enter into eternity, to have the blessings of eternal life. And we don't want to kid ourselves if we are blessed or cursed. We know There's no one in this room today that, having been here more than one time, should know whether you're blessed or cursed. If you obeyed the gospel and you continue to obey the gospel, you're blessed. If you have refused to submit yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ and His will, if you have refused to be baptized, you're cursed. Today's the day to change that. And if you have done that, from this day forward, it's a day to continue to build ourselves up in the most holy faith, to live a life that is pleasing in the sight of God, to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, not by the world. So we want to consider some fundamental things. Jesus is the author of salvation to all who obey Him. Jesus is not your personal Savior. I hear that all the time. Jesus is my person. I've accepted Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. I have a problem with that. I disagree with that, because what it implies by definition is ownership. Cambridge Dictionary states that it's someone whose job is helping someone in a higher position. So if Jesus is my personal, it's like saying Jesus is my personal secretary to do my bidding, to do my will, to help me who's higher than Him. Listen, many people fall short because they accept Jesus as their Savior, my personal Savior, but they refuse to accept Him as Lord and King, Master. That is how the world has been taught. And when we think that way, we have to remember we were bought at a price, Paul said, 1 Corinthians 6:20. We're not our own. We have to glorify God in our body and in our spirit. We don't own Jesus, it's vice versa. He owns us. Jesus is our Savior. And that really means nothing at all if we don't make Him Lord of our life. Today forward, this new year, day by day, Jesus needs to be Lord of our life. Everything, every command, we must keep those faithful. Remember what He said, remain faithful until next year, tomorrow. You know, we make these New Year resolutions. And then, what does it say? I don't know what the statistic is, but most people don't keep them past the first month or so. This isn't a New Year's resolution. This is a lifelong resolution to make Jesus Lord over your life. That means what He says you will do, like the song. Remember those words, what He says, I will do. I will trust and obey. There's no other way. So, that we do obey. What does it mean to obedience? It's pretty simple. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Therefore, keeping His commandments is a great form of love. You know, I often ask people, you know, you say you love Jesus, can you tell me what His commandments are that we must have to be saved? And all, and I've said this many times, I get blank stares. I have never asked that question to anyone outside of a Church of Christ to this date who's ever given me an answer. And the question, if you don't know the answer, how can you actually believe that you're saved by Jesus, your Savior? If you love me, keep my commandments. Luke 6:46, Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do the things that I say? Jesus commanded many things. Hear and be taught, believe, repent, confess me before men, be baptized, remain faithful until death. Be the salt and light of the earth. Let your light so shine. He went on with many things. Honor God. Keep His law. Keep His word. Keep your own word. Yes or no. Right? Matthew 5:37. Love your enemies. Matthew 5:44-46. Seek first the kingdom of God. And that's just a few. But we need to know what these things are. And there's many, many commandments that we, as children of God, as children of the kingdom, we need to learn them and make sure that we keep them. Evangelism, serving one another, loving one another, edifying one another. And the list goes on. We need to understand them and we need to obey them. So they have to be obeyed. There's nothing new here. Remember, we read back in Deuteronomy the two options, to be blessed by obeying all the commands or be cursed by not obeying. We need to obey the commands. Secondly here, we think about this, we must love God and Jesus more than anything. What did he say? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, right? With all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. What does that mean? That means that I'm giving my heart completely to God first and above all things. So everything else comes second as far as love is concerned. When I love him with all my soul, that means I'm dedicated to his worship, to worshiping him, dedicated to following him. There's nothing in me. I'm not self-centered. When I love him with all my mind, it's the same thing. It means that when I talk, I speak the oracles of God. When I help other people, and when I answer questions, it comes from the Spirit within me. My mind speaks again of the things of God. And when I talk about all my strength, I expend myself. There's just, at the end of the day, I may be tired, but if I have 1 ounce of strength left, it's to give glory to God. Right? We love him more than family. We love and serve him more than others. We surrender our will to him. Just like he said in Luke 22:42, not my will, but your will be done. Revelation 5:8, you know, we pray. You spend time together. Just to digress a little, you spend time together with your spouse. And the more time you spend together, you learn about one another. You learn to cherish and love one another even more. It makes you stronger as a couple. The same thing's true with developing your relationship with God. You do it through His Word. You do it through prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. And you do that prayer, and remember in Revelation 5:8, we've already studied that, that God stores up those prayers in that bowl in heaven. We meditate and read and meditate and study the Word of God, 2 Timothy 2:15. These are things that we want to make sure we're doing to receive blessings this year. We love our brothers and sisters, John chapter 13:34. We love our brothers and sisters. It's a lifelong journey that starts every morning when we wake up and we realize we've been blessed with another day. Not with another year. Life is but a vapor, here today, gone tomorrow. So it's a lifelong journey, day by day, becoming a reflection of God's love, a lifelong journey, aligning our ways with His ways. A lifelong journey, connecting with God. First sermon of the year, there's blessings and cursings. It's a choice. And we consider the blessings, to receive blessings in Christ. All the spiritual blessings in Christ, in heavenly places in Christ. Just as God promised Israel, the physical Israel, He promises the spiritual Israel, His church. By doing these things, your Jerusalem, your soul, will be blessed with eternal life. It won't fall. So what's a blessing? Revelation chapter 22, verses 2 through 6. In the middle of the street on either side of the river was a tree of life which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Verse 3, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. There no need for a lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. They shall reign forever and ever. In verse 6, and he said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. John wrote that there is eternal rest from our labors, Revelation 14, 13, Revelation chapter 21 and 3. God himself will be with you and he will be your God. Blessings. Because Jesus decided to become a curse on a tree, that he died for us, Galatians chapter 3, 13. We've been redeemed. Our soul has been redeemed from our own sins. And then there's the downside. With the curse comes a fall of your Jerusalem, your soul. And it's simple. If you don't obey Jesus, you'll not enter eternal life. Paul writes that Jesus Christ is going to be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels taking, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction. The curse. Because we don't obey Jesus. So Paul makes that pretty clear. We've already spoken what it means to obey. To not obey is the exact opposite. If we don't confess Christ, if we don't be baptized, if we don't repent of our sins, if we don't live faithful lives, our souls fall. Right? We can be lovers of money, lovers of selves. We can be disobedient to parents, all the things that Paul listed, 2 Timothy 3. We can be all those things. And Paul says, from such people turn away. Our Jerusalem falls when we love this world, when we love this life. Our Jerusalem falls when we don't have a love for the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2:9-12. Our Jerusalem falls when we allow ourselves to be led away by the error of the wicked. 2 Peter 3:17. What state is our Jerusalem in? Will we allow it to fall? Will we become a people that the prophet Jeremiah lamented over? And then he said in chapter 2 and verse 5, that is the kind of people that the Lord will be like an enemy to them. We need to be a blessing. Beloved brothers and sisters, we need to be a blessing. Lamentations is just a warning about the terrible things that happen when people refuse to obey God. And we know that obeying God in the New Testament, God has promised us a home in heaven. Jesus said that very clearly, very succinctly. If you believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, you may be also. Think about that. All the spiritual blessings that are in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 1 and 3, they're all yours for the taking. And it only seems right, it seems reasonable to me, to make a decision to follow that straight and narrow path, to walk on the path of obedience, to obey Jesus Christ this very day, believe, repent, and be baptized into Christ. That's just reasonable. There's nothing. We don't fear men. We don't fear anything. We just obey God. Remember John 12:48, he said, whoever does not receive my word has that which judges him. The words that I speak will judge him in on the last day. We know what happens if we don't obey. We know what happens if we do obey. The outcome of your Jerusalem depends on what you do today and tomorrow and the next day in this next year. And I hope this lesson helps us to be more committed to making sure that we're on the straight and narrow path. We have a song of invitation, 834, tells us about the power of the blood of Jesus. It has the power to save and nothing else does. And we know from our study that we come in contact with that saving blood in baptism, where Paul wrote in Romans 6:3-4 that we're buried with Christ in baptism. That's where the blood was shed. That's where we contact that blood. And we're raised up by the glory of the Father to walk newness of life. That's what it's all about. We need to have victory in Christ. There's power in the blood. If you have need this day, whatever the need is, please, I invite you to come forward now as we stand and as we sing. Would you be free from the burden of